In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Love one another. Sounds simple enough, right? But what does it truly mean to love one another? How does one show Christian love for another the way that our Lord Jesus calls us to? Today's gospel text is simply Jesus expounding and expanding on what he said last week, explaining how one bears fruit. So really, we should see both of them together. There's something cryptic in verse 10. Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In order to properly understand those words, hear what Jesus told the disciples. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Why? Why love one another? So that his joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. True joy, the joy that we know in Christ, arises only from the saving word of Christ. It flows from the obedience and the love which Jesus has spoken. John the Baptist rejoiced when he was in Elizabeth's womb when she heard Mary's voice. Abraham rejoiced at the promise of the coming Christ. And Jesus tells his disciples to be glad that he will return to the Father. In each case, there is some aspect of the saving Christ causing joy. Joy is the inevitable result of the union of the believer and Christ. And it's not some shallow emotional joy either, but a deep, satisfying, existential joy, a realization that you have conquered all things through Christ. Even in tragedy and in suffering, you've conquered in Christ, regardless of what the world around you might say or think. So it isn't a simplistic, "Oh, wow, you did that for me, Jesus? That's cool. I'll see you next week." So if joy flows from the disciples' union with Jesus, that joy is fulfilled in their mission to others. And again, Jesus tells the disciples to love one another as he has loved them. Then comes the real heart of his words. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." How did God love you? How did his love show itself to the world and to you? Jesus says it in John 3, "God loved the world in this way, he sent his only Son." The sacrifice of Christ to his death for you is how God the Father showed his love. Jesus went to his death and came to life again for each of you, even though you sin daily and you sin much. Jesus obeyed his Father, and this death saved you from death, real death, eternal, everlasting death. So, friend doesn't really capture the depth of the relationship Jesus is speaking of. These 12 and you aren't just casual acquaintances, but deeply loved companions. So Jesus goes on, "You are my deeply loved companions if you do what I command." It's Jesus' death that makes the giving of the Holy Spirit possible, which makes the following of Jesus' commands possible. And it's the love of Jesus that makes the Christian beloved. Obeying his commands doesn't make you one of the beloved. Obedience is not the test. Obedience is the result. Following Jesus' commands isn't a test of whether or not one is loved by Jesus, but rather that obedience naturally flows out of being loved by Jesus. So you can't earn the status of Christian. But your status as a Christian is seen by others in the love expressed in Jesus' command. So then our Lord says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." But don't take the exclusion of the term servant too literally, though. The idea of servanthood is still strong here. The Christian remains a servant in the service that he renders. He's still a servant because he's carrying out the duties given by his master. But from the viewpoint of a fellow saint, of a member of God's kingdom, he's not just a servant. Rather, a co-worker in the kingdom, fully aware of what happens in the kingdom and how those things do happen. And so Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Jesus chose his followers, and he chose them for a specific purpose: to bear fruit in the kingdom. They are to be fruitful as they go about their daily lives. They are to bear fruit as a result of the faith given to them. And so Jesus repeats what he said earlier in the chapter and what he implied in his words on the vine and branches. "These things I command you so that you will love one another." This is the love that comes from believers abiding in Jesus. Just as he said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." Well, we've circled back to the beginning again. And you probably want to know what it means to love one another. How do you love others? You already know how. It may not be in a direct one-on-one way, might be more indirect. But still, love one another. Those of you who congregate out front over there, move over to the South Lawn and chat with those folks. And you South Lawn folks over there, move over that way. Talk to those folks. We need smiling faces at the fair booth this week. We got boards and committees and organizations that have openings. There's always room for invited friends to join us on Sunday. The possibilities are nearly endless. So is it too much for the Son of God, he who suffered death so that you might live forever, is it too much to ask of Jesus, or too much for Jesus to ask of you, to give to him more than 1 hour in a week? Is it too much to give back just a tiny fraction of all of the gifts that he's showered upon you? He said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. It's pretty clear who those are who truly love God. Those who obey his teaching. Now, this has absolutely nothing to do with earning salvation. That part's already been done in Christ. Jesus speaks only of those who are already Christians. These are the duties of the redeemed. These are the things that the saved children of God do in love for the benefit of their neighbors. So, how do you show your beloved family members that you love them? Do you just say, I love you? Or do you serve them continually to show that love? It's the doing of things for them and with them, right? You serve them even as they serve you. And so our Heavenly Father and His Son love you. They have given you life and faith and salvation by the working of the Holy Spirit. They love you. And all they ask of you is to love one another as they have already loved you. Amen.